All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Are we back?
Did we fix it?
I think we're back.
Harm. Audio Harm. Check.
Test.
We did it in record time. All right, let's just restart the show from the top. I already told you about the Toyota BZ4X, but I'm going to tell you about it again because the BZ4X is Toyota's brand new all-electric SUV that is designed to go the distance for you and your family. The BZ4X is packed with the coolest tech, but still has that trusty SUV feel you know and love. And even though it's electric, it's capable of effortlessly conquering any terrain, whether it's rain, snow, mud, your friend's questionable post-game recaps, or a first-round matchup against the LA Kings. The BZ4X will get you through it all, spitting up a little bit here. And we are coming to you from the iconic Wall Center in downtown Vancouver. Looking for your next meeting space? Contact the Wall Center for all your event needs at sales@wallcenter.com. Back! For the first time today, Dave Guadrelli, Harmon Dollar, technical producer, the man at the controls, although I'm not sure he'd want me to tell you that right now, is Grady Sass. Okay, Harm, electric win for the Canucks last night. A big, big win over the Vegas Golden Knights. I like this. Grady came up with today's show title. The art, because I put the art of a bounce back win, because we're going to break down the win. He changed to the Arturs of a bounce back win. I'm starting in the goal crease. I'm starting with Arthur Seelofs. Oh, don't put in Seelofs against the defending cup champs, Vegas Golden Knights. Don't do that. You're going to rock his confidence. Seelofs has confidence. Seelofs can't get his confidence rocked. That's my new take. Anytime it's an Artie party at Rogers Arena, like he looks the exact same if he's pitching a shutout and if he's given up like 6 goals in a game. He just looks the exact same. Doesn't cheat. Doesn't change anything. Super even keel kid. Everything's water off a duck's back with this kid. I'm really liking what I'm seeing from Arthur Seelofs, and I'm officially declaring it. It's an Artie party, and I'm back. I would never left, but I'm calling for another boarding for everybody to hop on the Seelofs train.
It's funny because after the first 2 goals, you're thinking, especially the Eichel power play one, you're like, geez, how is this? How is he going to respond, right? Because that's a huge mental test. First 2 shots go in. It's your first time this season going up against a top opponent. Obviously, he's done it last season when he went up against the Rangers and Boston, but this is a totally different animal. And for him to kind of clamp it down from there was essential. And speaking of bounce backs, I mean, we have to start with the power play. The first unit, which has struggled since the All-Star break, able to drag this team back into the game because 2-0 down, it felt like the life had been taken out of the building. I mean, online, you would have thought this team died by the time they were down 2-0. Nobody thought they were gonna come back in this game with the way the goaltending was looking, with their recent track record against playoff teams in the last handful of games. with how difficult it's been to manufacture offense. So for the first unit to get them back in it, and I mean, the puck movement was so crisp, right? It's yes, they scored a couple of garbage goals there, scoring in greasy types of ways, and that's critical. But the way they were zipping it around the offensive zone, pulling defenders and penalty killers out of position. I mean, you look at the tape and just watch Tomáš Hertl on the PK for Vegas. He was running around. He didn't know where to pressure. He didn't know what passing lanes to clog up, what shooting lanes to take.
That's it.
Especially in his first game back, it was as if he was completely lost. And when you can combine that type of puck movement with, okay, then we're going to have an assertive shoot first mentality. And on both power play goals, essentially having a double screen with Pettersson and Garland, that's how you create havoc, chaos, and success on the power play.
Harm, that's where it starts for me. You're snapping the puck around with speed, purpose, and poise. Those are the things that, and again, I know some of those are synonyms for each other, but you know what I mean, right? And they're getting those pucks on net. They were creating those garbage plays. Like, it wasn't a set play every time, but when the set play was there, they were executing on it. And it was a smoke screen for the Vegas penalty killers. And I'm glad you brought up that Hertl didn't know whether he should cover a shooting lane or a passing lane, because hell, when we watch power plays, and I know we watch every game this team plays, and NHL players have to play in games and play other teams, we watch everything. Last night was maybe the first time this season that I haven't been able to predict where the puck was going to go on the Canucks power play. I don't know if you do that. I watch power plays and I'm like, okay, it's going to go here. And oh my goodness, for so long now it's been, okay, it's going to go to Hughes. All right, it's going to go to Pettersson, back to Hughes, back to Miller, back to Hughes, back to Pettersson. Okay, if they shoot, it's going into someone's shin pads.
Exactly. That's why it's been difficult to get pucks through that first layer of traffic, because when you know where that next pass is going to be, first you can jump the passing lanes, which penalty killers have done really well against the Canucks lately, but also you're able to front the shooting lanes because you know this is the situation where this guy's gonna take a blast. And that's the other thing, is everybody on that power play was taking shot attempts, right? Even Pettersson off, I can't remember if it was the first power play opportunity or the second one, but right off the draw, blasting a one-timer, right? We haven't seen that very often. Miller was taking a lot of shots, which from the right circle then made him unpredictable, where he's both a shooting and passing option. So you don't know what he's going to do. Same thing with Quinn Hughes, right? Lately, he's brought back the shot first mentality that he had in the first month of the season when the power play was so hot. And so again, now you don't know whether Hughes at the top is going to pass it to one of the flank players or whether he's going to let it fly himself.
I wish I could get the paper and pen out to draw out the power play again. I'm not going to do it, but basically, remember last time I did that where I drew on the paper and pen? I was talking about how the two high forwards were just immediately pressuring Quinn Hughes for the return pass and also pressuring whoever Hughes passed to. In most cases, it was Pettersson. Last night, that wasn't happening because as soon as they would kind of like cheat a little bit, the puck was fired on net. And then all of a sudden, those forwards are out of the play. The Canucks have three men down low to the opposition's two. You're going to win the numbers game there. And if you're working hard enough, you're going to get the puck 9 times out of 10. And that's what we saw last night. Again, the Garland goal comes to mind when I bring that up, but it was a good win for them. And we're going to continue the conversation after, but we're not going to make them wait any further, any longer. We were going to talk about the game a little bit more, but we had a bit of a late start. I don't know if Cam knows we had a late start, but we're going to get to him now. Cam Robinson, very pleased to be joined by him. And he is brought to you by Greta. Join us for our next electric watch party on April 18th as Vancouver takes on Winnipeg in the final game of the season. It's going to be a great time, just like the last one was. Get your tickets for just $10 at nationgear.ca. All right, let's bring him in. Cam Robinson of Elite Prospects joins us now. Cam, thanks so much for joining us. New background today. I like it. New bandana. It's good. I like it. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, fellas. Figured I'd mix it up a little bit for you here this week.
And Elias Pettersson mixed it up with Jonathan LeCair, for Jonathan LeCarimacchi, because LeCarimacchi got hit there in one of those games. We're going to ask you a lot about those two prospects, because now, like the last time we talked to you, neither of those guys were in Abbotsford the last time we talked to you. But now they've both played in Abbotsford, and LeCarimacchi's already heading back for the World Championships. Again, we'll probably talk to you about that, but specifically, his time in Abbotsford, what did you think of it for Jonathan LeCarimacchi?
Yeah, I didn't see all of his games. I saw a couple of them. I saw some highlights. I spoke to some people who saw some other games from him too. From what I saw, it was basically what he was doing for Orebro all season long. So he was obviously a great threat with that shot. He's really dangerous off of face-off wins where he can get the puck and he can release it really quickly with that hard, accurate shot. I think he's going to cause fits for AHL goaltenders when he does come over full-time with not only just like the power and precision that he has on it, but like the way he can time screens in the net front. He just has that goal scorer's mentality when he knows when to release a puck to maximize its chances of going through. You know, he looked under strength, as we kind of expected to. You could see him kind of getting worn down by that physical AHL, the strength of that league. They're obviously, you know, this isn't anything new, right? We know that the club wants him to build up some of his strength in the offseason. Originally at the World Juniors, when Patrick Waleen was talking about both those kids, and he, you know, the plan was to bring Pettersson over right away when his season ended, and give him, get his feet wet here, but let Lekkerimäki stay in Sweden to kind of build that strength and come over. Now they obviously changed that and brought him over, and he got himself 5 or 6 games here. I think that that worked out well because, you know, originally when they said it, I was like, oh, interesting, because it's like, when you're crossing over, coming over from Sweden, I don't know about you guys, but whenever I go to Europe or come back, like, I'm not thriving for a few days anyways, right? Like that jet lag, trying to get your sleep cycles back, and then to try to throw him into the mix at the AHL level before, you know, the expectation was he was going to go back to Sweden as well to go try out for that world championship team. But I think it worked out well. I think he got better as the games went along. You know, he had that 5-shot game. He kind of leaves on a 2-game point streak there. I think it was a positive experience overall for Lekkerimäki, and now he can go back, play those 4 games against Finland, and I expect he'll be on that world championship club, and that'll be another great little feather in his cap and some experience before he crosses over for good next year.
Cam, how does Vancouver's overall prospect pool sort of stack up or look relative to the rest of the league? Because I remember a year ago when the Canucks were obviously struggling with their main team, and I remember one of the big concerns was Lekkerimäki was having a down year. Willander wasn't in the pool yet. And you would look at their system and go, it's probably in the bottom third of the NHL. Yet fast forward to now, and both the main team is doing well. It's in its contention timeline, but also the farm system doesn't look half bad. How do you think the farm system as a whole compares to other NHL teams?
I mean, it certainly helps to add Willander, and you know, he's a prospect with a lot of upside. Lekkerimäki having a bounce back season is massive. You know what Atu Rassi has been doing down the stretch here for them. Pod Colson, you know, he was looking like is it gonna break right for him? Is he gonna end up back in the KHL one of these days, or is he gonna be kind of a bottom six guy long term? You know, he's been really strong down the stretch too with his physicality, his speed's looking better. Now I still would hesitate to say that they're top half of the league though, because it's just they don't have the depth of elite pieces, right? So they have basically those guys. I do like Elias Pettersson. I think that he's kind of a sneaky piece in their pipeline too that could, like, he could be a top four guy. He could be a number four guy that could really help you out. So they do have, it's better than it was a year ago. And that's, you know, credit to some player development, whether that's in-house or just the players themselves taking steps. But yeah, you know, and that's okay for a team. It worked out well that they are now in their contention window because, you know, a year ago, it did not look like that was going to be the case. It looked like they had a bottom third prospect pool and they were a bottom third team, and that's not ideal. So now they're looking to push in deep into a playoff run. And if you've got the 17th or 18th best prospect pool, then that's not the end of the world. That's actually fairly good.
Okay, Cam, I'm going to ask you a big picture question. Your draft philosophy for the Vancouver Canucks, what should the Vancouver Canucks be looking to do at the 2024 NHL entry draft? Because I'll tell you mine first, and I'm sure you have a much better one. But if you don't have any first, second round picks, draft the tallest right-handed kids you can and just see what happens. Like, that's kind of my philosophy. But what's yours?
I mean, I'm not mad about that. Like, it's close to what my philosophy will be. And it's, you know, you want to come away with one NHLer would be ideal, right? Not drafting in the first or second round. You're like, if you can get one NHLer out of this crop. So maybe at some point you're looking at a player like, that's an NHL skill. We can work with that. We can develop that. Hmm. And then the rest, swing on upside. Let's throw some darts. But I mean, yeah, sure. Go ahead and get yourself a big rangy right shot defenseman or right hand center. Even if it's like, this guy might not be a player, but maybe he will down the road. And if he does, now you've got yourself one of those elusive assets that are so hard to come by. But yeah, all about upside when you're swinging at that point of the draft. It's, yeah, I'm sure they're going to look to try to get one guy that they'd be like, that's a good floor. We can work with that. Maybe that's a bottom six or a bottom pair defenseman. And then the rest, I would just be taking big old cuts.
Hell yeah.
Cam, I wanted to ask you about Macklin Celebrini, because I've been watching a bunch of tape on him in preparation for a piece I'm doing for The Athletic. Celebrini, of course, from Vancouver, expected to be the number one overall pick. And I'm kind of getting the feeling watching him that maybe he deserves a little bit more hype, because you watch him and he's ridiculously talented offensively. He's a Hobey Baker finalist as a 17-year-old, doesn't turn 18 till June, I believe. And yet his defensive game reminds you of like Jonathan Toews. How special is Celebrini, and is he being underrated because there's been fatigue from all the hype that Connor Bedard got last year?
No, you nailed it. There is fatigue because of Bedard, because he was so tremendous and his numbers were so gaudy and his highlight tape, like the mixtape, was just ridiculous, right? And Celebrini, you know, he's electric too, but he's not that type of player. But like you said, he has that Jonathan Toews-like two-way game to him. Like, he's ferocious defensively too. Like, on the back check, you know, he battles hard and gets back on that back check, lift and sticks. He's hard in the corners. You know, you don't want to run into him. He's a sturdy kid too. Like you said, at 17, youngest player ever nominated for the Hopi. As far as I'm concerned, he should win it and be the youngest player ever to win it. He's the best player in college hockey. He is by far the top pick in this draft. And I think he's like an automatic first line center. Now, is he going to be Nate MacKinnon? Is he going to push for 100 points year after year, 140 points like MacKinnon's doing this year? You know, that's where I hold back predicting that kind of level of offense from him. It might come, but he's not incredibly skilled in that regard, like those truly top 3-5 players in the world type of skill with offense. I think the entirety of his game, the well-roundedness of his game, is what's going to make him such a pillar for whatever franchise lands first overall. And like I said, he's going to be a star. He's going to be a first line center. We'll just see if he's going to be like a super duper star.
Cam, who's the projected second overall pick?
There isn't one. That's kind of the fun part of this draft. Yeah, it's wide open. There's 5 names you could probably put out there. Personally, for me, it's Ivan Demidov. The Russian kid he could be the most electric offensive player in this draft. Like, he could end up being ahead of Celebrini with his skills.
Okay, so the reason I asked you that is because we have some listener questions, but this one's from a listener that always tries to pull a fast one on me, or has in the past, so I had to ask you before I asked the guy's name. But he asked how big of a gap there is between Celebrini and Demidov, the one you just said. Would it be totally outrageous for a team to go with that player at number one?
Yes, it would be totally outrageous. For a couple of reasons. It's like, Demidov is great. He's electric. He's got great hands. He's, you know, the skating is very projectable. The shot's good. Everything about his game is really exciting, but he is not a stalwart defensively. His birth certificate and the team he plays for right now and the club he's a part of adds all sorts of intrigue and stress to whatever team is looking at taking him. So, you know, I expect that there'll be a team in that top 5 that's going to be like, maybe we would take him at number 2. But if he's sitting there at 8 or 9 or 10, I wouldn't be shocked, just because of the birth certificate. And it's a funny class too, because there's a handful of really intriguing defensemen that could go right after Celebrini. And then there's also Caden Lindstrom, who's this like monster raw power center who could end up being, you know, a true top line pivot as well, with that size and that matchup and that unicorn status. So yeah, Demidov, he's going to be really interesting. If he goes 2, I wouldn't blink. If he goes 10, I wouldn't blink either. So he's definitely the wild card this year.
Kind of reminds me of Matvei Michkov a little bit there. Am I onto something there?
Yeah, for sure. He doesn't have the 3 years left on his contract, so he's only got one more year. Now, the thing with Sky is the team that he plays for, St. Petersburg, is that they're gonna let go of like 4, 5, or 6 forwards this offseason. So Mishkov's going to come back from Sochi. He's going to be playing a big role for them. The thing that they do, and I don't know if you guys remember this with Pod Colson, is that, you know, when they're draft minus one guys, they see nothing. They see no ice. If they get called up, it's like a minute, 2 minutes, and then they're back down to the VHL or the MHL. And then in their draft year, sometimes they'll get a little bit more time. And I was surprised that Demidov didn't get more looks. He stayed in the MHL all season, dominated. He's far too good for that level. Like, he's playing in the playoffs right now and he's got over 2 points a game. Like, it's silly. But now he's on his last year of his deal. So I'm sure what's going to happen is they're going to start him out and he's going to be getting like no minutes at the beginning of the season. Everyone's going to be like, great. Whoever drafted him, he's going to come over at the end of the year. He's going to hate playing at Ska. And then Christmas is going to come around. all of a sudden he's going to get some flashes in the power play. He's going to get some top six looks, and he's going to play a bigger part down the stretch. And then they're going to offer him a 5-year contract extension, just like they did with Pod Colson, like moments before he was drafted there a few years ago, is that they offered him that monster extension for a ton of money and he shot it down. But we'll see what Demidov does. I've also heard some rumors that Putin is like, they're having like a meeting in like 3 weeks to potentially invoke a new rule with the KHL that their players stay till they're 25, even if they're drafted. Now, I don't know how they can enforce that or if this is even true, but I'm just hearing that that is something that they're talking about. They're calling it like the homeland rule or something like that. So, you know, there's all sorts of stuff going on with Demidov and with Mishkov. Their scenarios are kind of up in the air, but pure talent alone, I'd also put Demidov slightly behind Mishkov.
Is it better for their development to play against Putin in charity games? We've seen the highlight reels, right?
Yeah.
I'm joking. You don't have to answer that.
As long as they don't play any defense against Ray. Yeah.
Okay. Final thing, Cam, and it's we're going to tie it back to the Canucks before we let you go here. The Canucks' recent practice of giving their junior prospects, you know, Vilmar Oleksson, Sawyer Mineo, giving those guys some time in Abbotsford, what do you make of all that? Like, it seems to be something new that we're seeing with the team.
Yeah, it's something that they used to do a little bit more too, and other clubs will often do it. And it's kind of like a mini training camp, you know? It's just giving these guys a glimpse of what the professional game is like, the speed, the physicality, the skill level up there, so that now they can go back in the summer and they can train with that in mind, right? When these guys get to a certain age in junior, I don't want to say it gets easy for them, but it certainly gets easier. And you don't want to have them take their foot off the gas. And so especially for those kids that they have no real aspirations of making the NHL club the next year. So they need kind of that carrot, is what's the next step they need to get to. So I like it. I think it's smart for player development. And I have no idea if that's, you know, the Twins pushing for that or who's kind of leaning on that more this time around. But I think it's a smart thing to do for organizations to get them in, even if they're black aces, right? They're just practicing, or you get them into a game, a few shifts here and there. And it's just valuable experience for them to go and then now hit the gym and see if they can't get their foot speed up or their physicality up to that level.
Cam, good stuff as always, man. Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it. And we'll be sure to ask you for some updates on the Putin League. What's going on over there? Thanks, man.
No problem. I'll hit my Russian Canucks, see what I can find out, eh?
There you go. There he is. Cam Robinson of Elite Prospects. You can go check out his work at Elite Prospects. Always fun having Cam on the show.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Yeah, I did not expect that. I mean, of course, he's not reporting it, but
yeah,
the fact that there are even rumblings that
yeah,
Putin may be looking at trying to get the KHL to force Russian players to stay until they're 25 is
a wrinkle.
Pretty wild.
Yeah. And again, not concrete or anything like that, yeah. So we're not going to spend too much time. Grady, can we get Putin's highlight reel playing in the background for anyone else? Just, I love that. You've seen it, right?
Yes,
you know exactly
I have.
What I'm talking about.
Oh, no back checking allowed.
So good. Dude, it looks like Bruce Boudreau's coaching the other team. It's awesome. It's the best.
I feel like if we get pull that up, we might get in some trouble from parts unknown in Siberia. So who knows?
Fair enough. All right. let's get to anyone else.
Well, dude, yeah. I'll also say this. I remember once Rush is kind of sketch. I remember I was doing in Pod Colson's Draft Plus 1 year, I was doing a story on his development and how with Ska, he wasn't really getting much ice time, much opportunity. And that was going to be a central part of looking at why he hasn't produced offensively at that point. And I remember talking to somebody and they're like, be very careful about how you word this article and that you aren't overly critical. And then explain some ties behind the scenes of who Ska's. Anyway, I'm not going to get too deep into it, but
you're going to be very careful.
Very careful. So I worded that article very deliberately and in a way to make sure I wasn't offensive.
Good for you, Harm. Some breaking news right now. Jack Hughes out for the rest of the year, shut down for the rest of the season. So Devils weren't going to make the playoffs, but they're definitely not going to make the playoffs now. They weren't mathematically eliminated, but now
my one vibes take. The one vibes take I had this year was when you were saying hot take, I think this was like 3 weeks ago. Yeah. I think the New Jersey Devils are going to make the playoffs. And I told you, no, I think the vibes are off.
And you were right. And you've had a few good vibes takes this year. You've really grown in the vibes department.
A few is stretching it.
No, like, I think had a few.
I've only put out like a couple vibes takes. But I can't even remember another one.
I can't off top. I mean, you've predicted the first goal scorer pretty often.
Yeah, I mean, not that often.
Like four times. That's more than anybody else on this show.
82 game season.
Yeah, I don't know.
I was disappointed with that take from you, Quads, because knowing you're the goalie guy, their goaltending has been bad this year.
I don't know. I thought there was a chance.
I wanted to believe in Travis, but
what about Penguins?
I hope they make it.
Yeah.
I've been rooting for them.
I know. I really hope they make it.
Man, I can't believe they... So I get why they started Eller for... did you watch EOT yesterday between them and the
Leafs? Yeah, it was the skate issue, right? For Crosby? Oh, no, that was two games ago. No. Excuse me. Okay, continue. So
it's 3-on-3 OT.
Yeah.
Like the biggest OT of the Penguin season because they need every point they can get.
Yeah.
Crosby's obviously been a monster. They started Lars Eller and Drew O'Connor as their two forwards in OT. I get O'Connor because he's got speed and he had a great game. Eller, I also understand just from the perspective of he's their best sort of faceoff man, I believe. And just because whether it's been Crosby or Malkin, typically starting in OT, Pittsburgh's OT record is really bad this year. So I get starting those two guys. But once you get possession, which Pittsburgh momentarily did, Lars Eller should get off the ice right away. And you should have Sidney Crosby on the ice. Or at the very least of getting Malkin.
Yep.
And they didn't do that. And they got hemmed.
That's the old Brandon Sutter. Brandon Sutter wins the faceoff and skates off for the line change. Used to happen all the time.
Get off.
Yeah.
Right? So that was brutal. And of course, the Leafs scored on that first shift. Sidney Crosby doesn't even see the ice in OT.
Yeah, that's unacceptable. Brutal. Yeah, this one, first one. Did I even do the anyone? No, I didn't do anyone else yet. But it is anyone else. We're going to get to anyone else in a sec. This one from Conrado Pedaris. Do you guys think the Pens can weasel their way back in? I'm picking the Penguins to get in. Like, do you think that was enough of a vibes killer? That's another question. Was that enough of a vibes killer for them not to make the playoffs?
See, my heart wants them to make it, and they've got a head-to-head game against Detroit and the Islanders, I believe. So they control their own sort of destiny here. But I don't know. I want them to make it, but I'm not feeling it. Like that OT loss, like they needed to win that game, in my opinion.
Speaking of playoff seeding and positioning, oh wait, I gotta tell you that this segment is anyone else, and it is brought to you by our friends at DoorDash. There it is. It's time for anyone else presented by DoorDash. It's our listeners' chance to get involved and hit us up in the YouTube live chat. And it's also our listeners' chance to get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when they download the DoorDash app and enter code NATION25. That's all capital letters NATION and the numbers 25. Offer valid in Canada, subject to change. Terms do apply. With DoubleDash, you can order from multiple restaurants or stores in the same delivery without additional delivery fees so everyone can get what they want and need. All right, time for anyone else. What do we got? We had a baseball question, and it's relevant to what Cam was saying, so we'll get to it later. But
haven't even finished breaking down the Vegas game.
That's I know we have a lot. We have a lot in this final 30-ish minutes of the show. In anyone else, it's gonna be a lot to talk about. But we can do it. The Vancouver Canucks with their win last night. I would say now they're moving pretty out of reach of the Edmonton Oilers. Like, yeah, the Edmonton Oilers have two games in hand, but they have 5 points to make up. I also think who the Canucks beat last night, the nature of the victory, also really puts the hammer down on Edmonton.
Yeah, and I think I saw this morning, I don't know if it's confirmed, but it sounded like Connor McDavid might not play against Vegas tomorrow.
Yeah, and what did I tell you yesterday? You should really be hoping for a Canucks win, because if Vegas loses to the Canucks, which they now have, they're going to be really hungry to beat the Oilers when they those two teams face off tomorrow. Canucks face the Arizona Coyotes tomorrow. So again, I'm not saying that's an easy out. Connor Ingram almost stunned them last time these two teams played, but you take down Vegas in the way that the Canucks did, you're thinking, okay, we can keep some momentum rolling here. We can take care of the Arizona Coyotes. But before we kind of move on here, we still got to talk about this Vegas game. The penalty kill was good. The special teams were good. And I think that was a big conversation we've been having over the past couple of weeks, is the special teams are the thing you have to be most concerned about if you're watching this team, because the power play was so bad for a good 2 month stretch there, but they've really started to turn things around in April. And that's exactly what we want to see from them.
For sure. We went deep on the power play, so I won't go too much further on that. What I loved most, I think, about that victory was when they went up, how they defended in the third period. The Canucks outshot Vegas, and at 5-on-5, only surrendered two high-danger chances.
Not playing scared to lose the lead is what I kind of thought of.
Vegas didn't look that threatening. Seelovs had to make a couple of saves there, but there wasn't that massive barrage or that moment where you're on the edge of your seat, scared, thinking that they might blow this one. And really, there were a couple of shifts late in the game that were extremely impressive from a defensive perspective. First was with about 3 minutes left, I have here jotted down, JT Miller against Jack Eichel, defensive zone draw. And the Canucks on that shift won so many heavy, hard puck battles to force it out of the zone. Vegas couldn't really get set up in that situation. They couldn't get any looks towards the net. Again, it's that hardness on the puck, which the previous time the Canucks played Vegas, they didn't have that in the defensive zone. And we had Rick Tocchet saying, we need our players to go through guys in those situations. They executed in that department. And then with 1:55 left on the clock, approximately, the Mantha line had possession in Vancouver's zone. Pettersson, with a remarkable defensive shift, fronted him when Mantha had the puck behind the net, which created the change of possession. And then Ilya Mikheyev, who had a hardworking, industrious, productive performance in that game, along the wall, forcing that puck out. I was really impressed by Vancouver's forwards in that third period defensively, and of course the PK as well in that third period after they earlier in the game surrendered a couple shorthanded.
It was a night filled with milestones. Connor Garland plays his 400th game. We'll get to the shirts in a second there, but also scores the 100th goal of his career. JT Miller hits 100 points on the season, and Brock Besser scores 40 goals. And it was Andy Cole, shout out to Andy Cole, he retweeted an old article from Botch at The Athletic where he talked with Brock Besser about his belief that he could be a 40 goal scorer. And obviously the story was in 2019, he wrote this story, his belief that he could be a 40 goal scorer, you know, his kind of outlook on what he would be able to do. That was his sophomore year too, right, where he still battled injuries, but you know, had to deal with a lot, and it feels in some time, but he's really kind of crossed that mark. Like, obviously he's hit the 40 goal mark, but he's just evolved so much as a player. I know it's a conversation we've had before this season, but I was just looking back on that story and seeing Brock Besser's quotes about how he believed he could score 40 goals. Like, he was throwing out 30 at training camp last year. Like, you have to think to some extent, and Brock Besser was unavailable after the game. He's playing through something. Rick Tocchet said that Brock Besser was dealing with treatment, had a maintenance day at Canucks practice. So we still haven't talked to Brock Besser about it, but you have to think to some extent that Besser himself even probably started to have some doubts if he'd ever score 40, ever score 30, let alone 40.
Yeah. And it's that extra commitment in the summer, because I remember speaking to Rick Tocchet. He was on the VanCast at the time with me and Farhan, and he expressed a really strong belief that Brock has switched trainers to one that Rick Tocchet knew, and how mindset wise Tocchet really felt that he was positioned to take a big step forward. And then, of course, we saw it right away in training camp. He looked a little bit quicker. He looked leaner. He looked in really good shape. And then when he goes out and scores four goals in the season opener against Edmonton, that just sets the tone for a clean slate. This is the new me. Because you'll remember, like, how many times has Brock Besser started a season where he's been hampered by injuries?
Yep.
Or he starts well, gets hurt, and even when he returns to the lineup, it takes him a while to build up to being the peak version of himself. So obviously staying healthy is a big part. And then also just the positive momentum of that good start, not to mention him finally having a consistent role on the first unit power play is massive, because I believe he's top five among all NHL players in power play goals this year. So he's really feasted on that opportunity. That's a huge reason why instead of 30, he's been pushing and has eclipsed 40 now. It's a remarkable story. And again, it's crazy. You think of Besser, you think of Garland. These are contracts that the Canucks couldn't get rid of for free at one point.
JT Miller hits 100 points on the season. We've talked about him. This is the first year of his contract extension that, you know, obviously was immediately getting some criticism from the market. But look, like, I don't want to hear about the final years of JT Miller's contract anymore. If you play at this value, the team's playing the way they are, and JT Miller's a driving force of it, this is why you sign these contracts. It's no longer a case of Canucks signed a good player, but they signed at the wrong time and it didn't make sense. No, now it's, this is a good contract for this team to have right now, and this is what you do. This is what good teams do, is they sign these players where they say, okay, we're hoping to get surplus value in the first few years, even if maybe the last 2-3 years of the contract, 7-year deal, of course, maybe those last few years aren't as great as the first couple of years. We're still happy with the surplus value. JT Miller is giving them a ton of surplus value right now.
The story of his maturation as well, how difficult it was for him in terms of the highs and lows with the New York Rangers, how many times he was bouncing back and forth between the NHL and the AHL, being in Alain Vigneault's doghouse, having doubts that he was going to turn into the player that he was drafted to be as a 15th overall pick. It was a journey filled with a lot of adversity. And he's the first one to admit, I wrote a feature story on this a couple of years ago, that he said himself, direct quote, "I was young and dumb." And it took him time to figure out how to have success in the league. Then he, of course, got traded to Tampa, and he thought Tampa was going to be his home, right? He gets traded there, has immediate success. After the deadline, he was around a point per game, signed a 5-year extension, bought a house. His wife, Natalie, interior design, the whole place. And then just before his no trade clause kicks in, he's dealt to Vancouver, right? It's another wrench thrown into the equation. And of course, in between him initially getting traded to Tampa, I think he did have a full season where he was bouncing between sort of like the first line and third line. And then coming to Vancouver, I remember one thing that JT spoke about was he'd have conversations with Travis in the offseason that, hey, coming to this younger team, you're going to have an opportunity to really be a leader, to have everything you've ever wanted in terms of top line opportunity, first unit power play. This is all there for the taking, but you have to be ready for that. And that's when, speaking to Travis as well, JT came into camp and came with the mindset of, I'm here to seize a bigger opportunity and fulfill my potential. And since that first season in Vancouver, he's just taken off as a player that so consistently has been among the game's top point producers.
A leader who also was able to keep it light in the room. JT Miller got these shirts made up. He explained it to Sportsnet Dan Murphy after the game, how these shirts came to be, the Connor Garland 400th game shirts. And I think I know the origin of it is basically just that the team always posts a social graphic whenever a player hits a game milestone. And I think Garland was like, okay, we should do this for another player. We should do this for a player and wear shirts. And Miller explained that was kind of the origin of it. I just think it has to do with the team posting graphics of players' milestones. But let's see the clip. Let's see the clip, Grady.
Buddy, a guy that you guys go back and forth with all the time is Connor Garland. You made a shirt for his 400th career game. But in all honesty, what has he meant for this team this season? What do you think it would mean to him hearing the fans chanting his name during the game and post game?
Yeah, it's incredible. He's been one of our most consistent players all season long. A lot of noise around him in the offseason and coming in, and a little adversity for him to work through, and I'm really proud of the way he's handled it. You know, we hang out a lot around the rink, especially, and on the road, and you know, he works really hard, and easy guy to play with. You know, he's always a buzzsaw with him and Dak, and you know, it's one of the more fun guys to chirp, you know, back and forth around the room. And I gotta be honest, these shirts were his idea for somebody else, and I stole it to get him back. So it's I'm not taking any credit, but you know, it worked out great, and honestly, it looked like it helped a little bit today.
Congrats on a big night and a big win.
Thanks, perfect.
Is that JT Miller, with four games remaining in the Canucks season, is four games away from 800 games. What is Connor Garland going to cook up for his good pal JT Miller, who's about to hit 800? And I didn't get to go to practice today, but I really wanted to, because I wanted to ask JT, you hope and talk it sits you for a game down the stretch for rest reasons so that you're at 799, but we'll see what happens. Four games remaining, JT Miller is 400 away. Or excuse me, four games away from 800 games played. So we'll see what's
happening. I hadn't realized that.
Yeah, four games away.
Wow.
With
okay.
Four games remaining. So on the 18th against Winnipeg, when we have a watch party, that'll be his 800th game if he plays in all the remaining games. I'm curious if they do rest some guys for at least one of those games, because it sounds like it's going to be a pretty quick turnaround for the Canucks between the last game of the season and game one of the playoffs. So again, we'll see if anybody gets rested. I think Quinn Hughes is probably the guy you'd like to rest the most. I don't know. It might be that game. It might be that game on the 18th of April, because if you're turning it around and you've got to go into game one of the playoffs, I would try to rest Pettersson. I would try to rest Hughes. Miller maybe as well. Might want to get him to hit 800 games. We'll see. But the reason I say sit Pettersson, who was talked about last night by Tocchet, was Pettersson at the net front. We haven't seen him there a ton in the past. He did well, but Tocchet spoke about how, yeah, he's just taking an ass kicking. Like, he's standing in there and he was complimenting him. But I was thinking, like, do you want Pettersson in that spot for all of the playoffs? And I know it's getting results and, you know, he's starting to dole it out himself too. It's not like Pettersson's getting abused and, you know, turtling or anything. Like, he's taking the cross checks, obviously, but he's also throwing his weight around, which we've seen him do this season. I just wonder about the sustainability of that strategy over a full playoff.
Well, I don't think it's a strategy of, I'm not going to be a skilled player anymore and I'm just going to be a net front presence. Pettersson knows that it's his IQ, it's his puck control, it's his playmaking, it's his shot that are his best offensive assets. But against your opponent, you have to adapt to what they give you, right? A team like Vegas, when they're at their best, they don't give you a lot of time and space with the puck. Sure, you're going to get a lot of time and space with the puck against Buffalo or Montreal or Calgary. But when it comes to teams like Vegas and LA, you're going to need to find other ways to manufacture offense, get to the inside, and sometimes pay that price. So I'm not worried about the sustainability of it. He is going to have plenty of opportunity where he's going to make skill plays with the puck in high traffic, even when he doesn't have a lot of space. Again, it's not like he's abandoning that side of his game, but you also need that adaptation in the playoffs. So I look at it as nothing but a positive.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Anything else you want to say from the game? Because there's something at practice today that I want to get to.
Sure, you can go ahead.
Okay, Thatcher Demko, pull it up, Grady. Thatcher Demko back on the ice. Wasn't a full participant in practice, but there he is in the black skate gear. He's doing some pretty regular movements here, and he's not necessarily going at game speed. So again, I don't think he's packed for Wednesday by any means, but maybe a chance for Saturday. And then obviously you've got a couple games still next week as well. You're probably looking at Demko getting now two, maybe three starts. I just hope it's not just one start that he's able to get. I hope they're able to get him in for at least two games. But this is obviously a good sign. He's doing some post integration for those on the podcast. He's moving around in his routine. He is still moving a little slower, but again, like I said, it's just for practice. He's just getting his feel back. He's not anchoring to the post like it's a game or anything like that, but nonetheless, good to see.
Absolutely. It would have been concerning if this would have dragged on further, that we don't see him on the ice very often, because then you're thinking, how are you going to build him up to first get into hopefully a couple of regular season games and then the playoffs, of course. So it's nice to see him slowly start to ramp up here.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, let's get to the chat. There was a couple things in here.
By the way, they have to go to a Seelovs next game, right?
Yes. I don't think it's a bait. I think someone asked it in the chat.
Do you think, from a coaching staff's perspective, considering that DeSmith is the veteran and Seelovs is a rookie, right? Because clearly from the perspective of who's been the better goaltender, Seelovs has earned it. But do you think just because Casey DeSmith is a veteran and has been such a good teammate that they're going to give him another chance to right the ship?
Yeah, you're right. Against Arizona, too. I'm just thinking, if like Casey DeSmith, I'm not saying he was to blame for the other ones, but just any loss in any fashion against the Arizona Coyotes. Imagine that for Casey DeSmith. All of a sudden, you can't go to that guy in the playoffs.
Well, yeah. But that's what I was thinking, right? Was Seelovs gives you the best chance to win, but
here's one for
coaching
you,
staffs. A lot of time, the likable veteran experience backup, considering he might be the option you go to in the playoffs, if heaven forbid Demko ever does go down, you're going to want to give him a little bit of a vote of confidence.
Yeah. Here's one for you. I don't even want to throw it out. No, I'm not even going to say it. Okay, I'll say it. Knock on wood. That was me knocking on wood. Thatcher Demko goes down in round one of the playoffs.
Oh, no.
Nothing serious. Just can't play the next game. Nothing serious. He'll be back. But
Nothing serious. Meanwhile, all of Vancouver's going to freak out.
Well, I mean, serious enough that he has to miss a game. Because I knocked on wood and I got to make it as knock on wood as possible. It's nothing serious. He misses one game. Just has to miss one game. Who are you starting?
On merit, best chance to win, it has to be Seelovs.
Has to be Seelovs, right? Has to be. Yeah, and Karen, I like this in the chat. Why not play Seelovs as much as possible? Get him ready for next season. I absolutely think that's what you have to be doing right now.
Question for you guys. If Thatcher Demko is ready to go, let's say Saturday, first game back, Edmonton Oilers in Edmonton, are you giving him that start?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. You don't care who the opponent is. You have to. If he's ready to go, you need him getting those reps, and you need him getting reps against good teams.
That's another playoff primer, right?
Yep.
You might as well see where his game at. There's really not another team. Maybe Winnipeg, but that's the last game of the season. So
yeah, you can't wait that long. You have to get him in as soon as you can. As soon as he's ready, right? Like, yes. I'm not saying rush him, but if he's ready, absolutely. It doesn't matter who the opponent is.
He's a veteran. He's not, he doesn't have fragile confidence that you have to protect if he's ready.
Totally. Yeah, you just got to get him feeling pucks, right? Doesn't even matter how that start goes.
Good point.
Give him the next one, and then give him the next one. Build that confidence.
Good point here from Jeremy in YouTube. The Yotes did beat the Golden Knights, and they played the Canucks, I don't want to say tough. Connor Engram definitely kept the minute, and Seelovs had to make a couple key saves. So, yeah, you might think it'd be a good confidence booster for DeSmith to get in against an obvious inferior team, but you know, they're going to play that spoiler role pretty hard. So maybe that is an opportunity for Casey to step his game up here.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see who they go with tomorrow. It'll be interesting.
But we should say, like, on merit, Arturs has earned every right to start. He is giving the team the best chance to win as of right now, this moment.
Yeah. Okay, we'll close it out with this one. From Conrado Pedaris. With OEL's buyout starting to increase and Petey's contract coming in, do you think management is still revisiting moving Garland's contract, or has he played his way off the block?
I think he's played his way off the block pretty clearly, especially because Tocchet loves the guy, right? Yeah. Tocchet after the game was joking that the players give him crap that Garland is his teacher's pet.
Yeah.
So I imagine the coaching staff has a big say in that. Now, it doesn't mean he's quote unquote untouchable, right? If there's an opportunity to go and get a higher profile difference maker, whether it's a forward or a defenseman, like a true elite forward or another true elite defenseman, and you need to shed some salary to make that happen, it's not impossible that they'd consider getting off contract like Garland's. But I mean, he's clearly proven himself as a critical 5-on-5 driver for this team, and I wouldn't be looking to move the contract, and I don't think they would at this point either.
Yeah. Especially if they try to re-sign Joshua, right? Next year,
exactly.
You would love to have those two on your, let's call it the third line, build on that chemistry, and all of a sudden you got a Canucks team that you can roll out three and a half lines for.
Okay, right? final question here from It's Jacoby in the YouTube live chat, and I'll answer it because he said it's for me because it's about baseball. But going back to what Cam said about the KHL thing about 25, like I know we were like, oh, that's crazy. This reminded me, he said, with the potential of the KHL keeping players until 25, could we see the end of drafting Russians and see a posting system like MLB and Japan? So Major League Baseball and Japan have competing baseball leagues, right? Like, players don't play in Japan to go get drafted into the MLB. It doesn't happen. They come over like Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who signed a $300 million deal with the LA Dodgers at 25. They come over and they're free agents. We're going to see Roki Sasaki is his name from the World Baseball Classic last year. We're going to see him come in and he's going to get another really, really high deal. The interesting thing about this is that, yes, this happens in Major League Baseball, but something we've seen in recent years that I'm going to start to wonder as well about the NHL is guys have their service time manipulated a lot when it comes to the MLB. Like, guys can't be free agents for like 7 or 8 years and service time gets manipulated a ton. Like, if you're not there for the first 17 days of the season, it doesn't count that you were there at all.
What?
Yeah.
That's wild. So
that's why they have, like, the Orioles' top prospect right now is Jackson Holliday, son of Matt Holliday. Tore it up in spring training. Undoubtedly makes the Baltimore Orioles better. They send him down to AAA, the minors. They're going to call him up at some point because he makes their team better, but they're going to call him up basically as soon as they are going to get an extra year of team control.
Yeah, Jays did this with Vladdy
a bit. They did. Yeah, they did. By the way, Astros did it with George Springer. There's another Jays tie. Chris Bryant sued. Well, not sued, but he filed a grievance.
Bring this back to hockey?
Yeah, so basically how it comes back to hockey is that a lot of these guys, these North American players that are seeing this posting system with Japan are saying, what the hell? I can't get my payday until I'm like 27 years old. I have to toil in the minors for years. My career earnings are so low. Why wouldn't I just go over to Japan, play professional baseball in Japan, get paid pretty damn well to do that, and then come get a payday at 25 years old, like Yamamoto's, like Sasaki's going to. These guys that are still young by in terms of baseball, right? Like 25 years old, they're getting these paydays that just, this isn't available for North American players. It's not. And, you know, if you're thinking about it in NHL terms, it would be similar, I suppose, to some extent, if guys are basically, it'd basically be like having the NHL draft, but instead of a draft, it's, okay, who wants to pay me the most money, I'll sign with that team. Because that's what the posting system is, basically, right?
Yeah, I'm curious how you would have to...
It'd be crazy for the NHL.
...negotiate, because from that perspective, if you're held in Russia till you're 25, there are going to be limits to... I guess it's not too bad, because by a certain age, the ELC you sign doesn't have to be 3 years. Like, Kuzmenko signed essentially a one-year ELC, yeah. So it's not as big a problem as I thought, because my initial thought was, okay, if you're 25 years old, you're already in the prime of your career, making a ton of money in Russia, what, you want to sign an ELC after that and not make a lot of money? But if it's only for 1 year, that's not the biggest problem. But I'd be on board with that. Can you imagine
a bidding war
for some of these Russian players?
Yeah, it's interesting. It's really interesting. And it's just, I'm reacting on the fly, just like all of you when Cam brought that up. So again, Cam was just kind of saying it out loud. He wasn't reporting anything. He just said he's kind of heard stuff behind the scenes, and nothing is concrete, obviously. Okay, got to tell you about a few things, actually. So tonight is the home opener of the Vancouver Canadiens. I said it yesterday. Go check them out at Nat Bailey. I'm going to tell people. Yesterday, I talked about them totally organically, just, oh yeah, it's going to be sunny tomorrow. You should go check out the Canadiens. I get an email 5 minutes before today's show. Vancouver Canadiens coming aboard as a sponsor. So now I'm going to be paid to talk about baseball, folks, and you can't stop me. So check them out at Nat Bailey Stadium tonight. The Canadiens are always an awesome time. It's some good weather. Go check them out. Vancouver Canadiens taking on, I don't even know who they're playing tonight. I think it might be Hillsborough. I can tell you usually, yeah, it's the Hillsborough Hops. I can usually
only
tell
you would know that off the top of your head.
I know. I just knew it.
He saw the email.
There's only
don't
like,
give him credit.
The email doesn't say Hillsborough.
I don't know.
It doesn't even say Hillsborough. I just know. And I can tell you that Hillsborough is the farm team of the Chicago Cubs. I'm sure
you
that
looked at me as if I know.
Well, I had to.
Look at this sexy graphic we got here. Boom.
Okay, Arizona Diamondbacks. Arizona Diamondbacks. Will you see top prospects such as? I'm just kidding. Well, actually, is Drew Jones with them? Hang on.
Is that Andrew's son?
So Andrew Jones' son was the second overall pick. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
So his son was the second overall pick. Okay, no, he might be up with Hillsborough at some point because they're now high A, the Vancouver Canadians League. They're a high A team. He's in single A right now, so he still has a level to go. But you might see Drew Jones, who's probably going to be a really, really good MLB player one day. You're going to see great talent for the Jays and for all these other teams that are in their division as well. So make sure you head on down to Nat Bailey Stadium. Killer hot dogs, as someone in the chat said. You said the hot dogs, baby. I'm there to like grade prospects and try to get the jump on my keeper fantasy league.
Well, I mean,
this guy's
look,
scouting.
I don't even eat hot dogs on a regular basis. I'm not like that type of guy. I don't go to Costco just to grab hot dogs or anything.
That makes one of us.
But there's something about the Nat Bailey ones that are so good.
Yeah.
And that's definitely a better reason to go than the game itself. But
we need to do a show from there.
Oh, imagine. Read that. My mind, Grady. Read my
baseball
mind.
Baseball comes, smashes our equipment.
That's right. We're doing a show, kind of a show. It's going to be a good time. It's on Saturday, April 20th, 1 p.m. at the Hollywood Theater. Join Canucks Conversation, us, and the rest of the Canucks Army crew for a special tribute to our late friend Jason Botchford, presented by Fountain Tire. Bro, Do Your Playoffs is a media event celebrating the life and legacy of Jason that will feature shared memories, special guests, an exclusive performance from the matinee, and the celebration of Vancouver's triumphant return to the playoffs. Bro, Do Your Playoffs is in support of the BC Mental Health Foundation. Get your tickets now at nationgear.ca. And as I mentioned, this event is presented by Fountain Tire. Make the shift to more savings. Save up to 25% on select tires until April 20th, plus a bonus $50 off any service of $150 or more. Book your appointment at fountaintire.com. Some restrictions apply. As we head further into spring, ask the Fountain Tire experts about their seasonal car package to keep your vehicle in top shape. Find your nearest service dealer at fountaintire.com. All right, the last thing I want to tell you about, I'm excited about this, and we're getting them. I found out we're getting them soon, Harm. I got some merch right here. This is from our our new parent company, Better Collective. Got my sweater on, but there's something I want to see. I want to see this around a little bit more because we're getting ours and we're going to be having them on in studio soon. I'm very excited about it. The CA playoff shirt. The playoffs are near and we have an army. Nation Gear is ready to gear you up for Vancouver's playoff run. Rep your favorite team as they battle for the cup. Shop the exclusive We Have an Army playoff tee and more at nationgear.ca. Look at those shirts, three different colors, high quality materials. Check them out. All right. I'm being reminded I really didn't manage this well. I kind of left everything till the end. Four Winds. Got to tell you about them too. And I'm excited to tell you about them. It's a good time of year. Hot out. You got the Vancouver Canadians. You got lots of activities that you can do outdoors. And what better way to enjoy the great outdoors than with a Four Winds IPA, a bitter beer for the sweetest coast. This classic IPA was made for folks who want a hoppy beer, hitting major keynotes of citrus and flower while finishing with a mellow hoppy flourish. This is an IPA for IPA lovers, available at liquor stores across the province or for home delivery through the online shop at fourwindsbrewing.ca. Look at that can. Locally owned and operated in Delta, BC. Go to fourwindsbrewing.ca. All right, folks. Apologies for the tough start to today's show. I'll tell you what, it really feels like Friday today. I know it's only Tuesday, but it really feels like Friday. Really feels like Friday. But yeah, this was a fun show, Harm. We'll be back in studio tomorrow. Frank Saravalli joins us tomorrow.
Ooh, what could we be talking about?
And we'll leave it at that. For my co-host, Harmon Dial, and our technical producer, Grady Sass, my name is Dave Quadrelli. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Canucks Conversation. Canucks Conversation with Harmon and Quads, brought to you by the Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X's fresh look is just an added bonus to its range, since you can drive up to 406 kilometers on a single charge. That's enough to get you from Kitsilano to Whistler or Kamloops to Kelowna and back and still be home in time for the game. Now that's what we'd call electric. The best part, by choosing electric, you can get up to $11,000 in rebates and incentives. The BZ4X are in stock and selling quickly, so make sure to visit shoptoyota.ca or your local Pacific Toyota dealer to get your hands on one. Canucks Conversation is live Monday through Friday, every weekday at 2 p.m. over on the Canucks Army YouTube channel. Make sure you like, subscribe, and interact in the YouTube live chat every day with us, folks.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.